الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد.
Okay, this is
I welcome all of you once again to this daily program at 6:30 on the topic of Islamic etiquettes and Islamic manners. Every day from Monday to, well, Saturday, with the exception of Sundays, inshallah, you are with me. And we discuss the topic of Islamic manners, Islamic etiquettes, based on the book, which is in Arabic, Min Adab al-Islam, from the manners of Islam, written and authored by a famous scholar and alim known by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. And before moving on, also I apologize if my voice sounds a bit too deep. Like, you know, when the battery is just going to run out from a cassette player or from a radio. Because yesterday somebody actually told me that you sounded like your battery was running out. I said, look, my battery wasn't running out. Maybe there was some technical problem and the battery, that, you know, technical department was running out, but not my battery. Even though at the end of the day, just before iftar, maybe our batteries are really, you know, decreasing and the power is of our batteries is decreasing, without a shadow of doubt. But yeah, just apologies if, you know, I do sound very different and if the, you know, the sound does not seem as it's supposed to be. There is some kind of a technical problem which they are trying to sort out. Maybe take a few days or a week. I heard yesterday it may take a week in order to have a nice sound. But inshallah, moving on. Yesterday, if you know, brothers and sisters, we were reading from this book, Min Adab al-Islam. And just briefly to summarize, we discussed if you remember briefly yesterday that we discussed the topic of Adab. We were reading this book, Min Adab al-Islam, and yesterday we discussed the importance of Islamic etiquettes and Islamic adab, and the author mentioned also a point that these etiquettes and these manners, well, he was discussing the scope of Islamic manners, and he mentioned to us that these etiquettes and these manners are such that they cover every aspect of our life, from basic things like going to the toilet and to the washroom, to all areas of our life. In every area, in every aspect of our life, there are rules, there are etiquettes, and there is guidance given to us by Islam and guidance given to us by the beloved Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And he also mentioned that these etiquettes relate to both men and women. Not just men and women. And then he also mentioned that, look, these manners and etiquettes are such that Islam is introduced and identified by these etiquettes and these manners. Okay? And he also went on to mention that if a person was to inculcate and implement these etiquettes and these adab in their life, then it will actually enhance that person's beauty, will make that person more beautiful. And I mentioned here that this is not the external beauty, this is the internal beauty, the beauty of the character. And it will make his personality beloved. It will make that person become close to hearts and minds. The person is well-mannered, has good character, and implements these etiquettes in his or her life, then people will naturally love that person and have a liking for that person. And then he also mentioned, lastly, that these etiquettes, what we say adab in Arabic, adab, and etiquettes is like maybe the closest translation, but it's not possible to translate this word. These manners, these etiquettes, these code of conducts, you know, these codes of conduct, or maybe these characteristics, these good traits, praiseworthy traits, fadail. These adab. So the author mentioned yesterday that calling them adab does not mean that they are like on the margin of one's life. They are on the side of one's life. They are not etiquettes that, you know, which are not so important. Rather, they are very important. They are the central part of Sharia. And he mentioned that these etiquettes are from the centrality of our deen, from the central teachings of Sharia, from Islam, from the aims and objectives of deen. Okay, so just calling them adab, because sometimes when we use the word adab and adab, we think, okay, this is like, you know, maybe not comes after your farad and your wajib and sunnah mu'akkada and ghair mu'akkada. So the author is trying to dispel this notion and this misconception and this idea and this, you know, misunderstanding that, look, we don't mean by adab and adab here that it's just something that you, you know, do after you've done all your other obligatory duties. It's on the side and the margin of your duties. It's not a peripheral issue. Rather, these etiquettes and adab are such that they are very important. And as I mentioned yesterday, some adab are fard, some etiquettes and adab are wajib, some are sunnah, mu'akkada, some are ghayr mu'akkada, some are mustahabbat and recommended. So it just depends on what kind of etiquettes they are. So this was the conclusion and just an overview of what we discussed yesterday, brothers and sisters. I hope my voice is coming to you clear. We've had some technical problems. I also mentioned to you earlier on that, you know, also apologies for these technical problems, and apologies also if my voice does sound to you a bit, you know, crooked, and maybe like, you know, the battery is coming out from a tape recorder, from a cassette player, because we've had some technical problems. But inshallah, moving on now to today's discussion, the author, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, says in his book, this book which I have in front of me in Arabic, Min Adab al-Islam, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذَا رُؤِيَ فِي بَعْضِ هَذِهِ الْآدَابِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْبَسَاطَةِ أَوِ الْبَدَاهَةِ فَلَا غَرَابَةَ فِي التَّنْبِيهِ إِلَيْهَا فَإِنَّ نَفَرًا غَيْرَ قَلِيلٍ مِنَّا يَقَعُ مِنْهُ الْخَطَأُ في مثل تلك البدهيات فيغمز بذلك من شخصيته المسلمة التي ينبغي أن تكون متميزة بجمالها وكمالها وسماتها. This is connected to what was said previously. And then he moves on to the next section. So he connects the previous section to the next section. And he mentions that, look, if it appears that these etiquettes, some of them are very simple, very common, very obvious, basata, simplicity, or will badaha, they're very common. You know, some of them are like basic things, the way you knock on somebody's door, and the way you greet someone, and the way you talk to someone. These are all etiquettes that we will inshallah come to. Then he says, the Shaykh is saying here, rahimahullah, that even though they seem simple, don't think that they are not important. Rather, it's important to highlight them. You might think, why do you need to write a book, and why do you need to highlight these basic issues and basic etiquettes? That they're very obvious. Some of them are absolutely simple and obvious, and common sense would indicate that you have to do them. But despite that, the Shaykh is saying that, look, it's still important to tanbih ilayha. It's still important to remind one another of them, to highlight them, to warn one another of them. Because many people, they actually fall into a mistake in regards to even these basic, simple, obvious etiquettes. Even though they are very obvious and common sense would indicate that you have to do them, but still many of us actually overlook them and are neglectful in regards to them. And if we do not overlook them, then we make a mistake. This is what he's saying. يَقَعُ مِنْهُ الْخَطَأ. That sometimes we don't really know how to sometimes even talk to people, even though it's absolutely obvious and basic that we etiquette that we should know, but still many of us do not know how to knock on somebody's door. We don't know how to close a door. We don't know how to shut a door or open a door. How to stand in front of someone. How to make a phone call. These are all etiquettes that are very important, which we will talk about in this book, inshallah. So he's saying that when people fall into mistakes and errors and commit errors and commit mistakes, then it tarnishes, يَغْمِزُ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ شَخْصِيَّتِهِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ. It tarnishes that person's personality. That person who we were talking about, you know, yesterday, the Muslim who implements these etiquettes in his or her life becomes a beautiful, perfect human being. What did we say yesterday? يُحَبِّبُ شَخْصِيَتُهُ. His shakhsiyya, his personality becomes beloved. He becomes beloved in the eyes of people. He becomes close to the hearts and minds. His beauty is enhanced and increased. This beautiful, perfect individual, when he or she overlooks these adab and etiquettes and does not implement these etiquettes and adab in his or her life, or makes mistakes and errors in implementing these etiquettes in his or her life, then it tarnishes that person's beauty. That beauty no longer remains. This is what the Shaykh is saying here. That beauty no longer remains, or even if it remains, it decreases to a great degree. It tarnishes that person. يَغْمِزُ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ شَخْصِيَّتِهِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ. And this beauty should be such that a Muslim should have it in his life. A believer should be distinct. He says, أَن تَكُونَ مُتَمَيِّزَةً بِجَمَالِهَا. This is the main part. يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ مُتَمَيِّزَةً بِجَمَالِهَا وَكَمَالِهَا وَسِمَاتِهَا. A Muslim, a believer, male or female, a Muslim man or a Muslim woman, the personality of a believer should be mutamayyizatan, should be distinctive. You know what we mean by distinctive? I remember. I mean, the way a Muslim is different from everybody else. Seriously, brothers and sisters, we should be able to distinguish a Muslim, a believer from a non-believer. I remember I heard from one of my teachers a story, a small incident regarding his father. And one of my teachers is he's a Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah, may Allah bless him and preserve him. I heard this from my own ears, from him, a year or so ago. He was relating about his father. His father was a great scholar and alim and mufti of the subcontinent, who is the author of the famous commentary of the Qur'an, Ma'arif al-Qur'an in 8 volumes, Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Uthmani, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, world-renowned alim and scholar and a sheikh. So this teacher of mine is relating about his father. He said, look, you know, once my father was traveling in the train in the subcontinent in India. And you know, down there you have like trains that are dirty and dusty and filthy, polluted, and there are long hours of journey, 10, 12 hours, 24 hours maybe you could travel. So anyway, we were in a long distant journey and my father was sitting next to some non-Muslim person, individual, maybe he was a Hindu or someone. And that person next door was a worker, a laborer. He had just, you know, he was working from one place to another. He had filthy, dirty clothes, you know, bad odor coming out from his body. And he was quite in a very unkept state, very inappropriate state. So this person was sitting next to my father, the sheikh says, but next to my father. And, you know, after a while, it was a long journey. So that person was dozing off and he went to sleep. And when he was dozing off, he actually dozed off and put his head on my father's shoulder. Subconsciously, he didn't know, of course. And, you know, he was like snoring away, and he said things were coming out from his mouth a bit, and he had dirty clothes on. And my father was there, he was actually reading a book and writing, and he did not even move. When he saw this person, he said, "Look, I don't want to disturb his sleep." SubhanAllah. He did not move. You know, he did not even turn the page until that person slept for an hour or 2 hours. And suddenly, after about 2 hours, he realized that he was, like, sleeping on somebody's shoulder. So he, you know, gathered himself and sat back properly and, you know, kind of pretended maybe nothing happened, like we do sometimes. So then he says that, okay, that happened. And then we carried on traveling. And then later on, after a few hours maybe, what happened was that my father must have got tired. He became tired and he put his pen and book and papers away. And then he was just sitting and slightly, he just dozed off slightly and reclined slightly towards that next door neighbor of his, the non-Muslim, and slightly his head just touched his shoulder. And that person quickly moved his shoulder and said, you know, started brushing his shoulder. As if saying that, you know, don't sleep on my shoulder. The Sheikh, his son, Mufti Rafi Uthmani, says that there was one of the scholars and alims who was with us, he said to me that, you know what, look, this is a difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. This is, if you want to see a practical difference between a believer who believes in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the one who follows in the footsteps of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the one who follows in the character and inculcates in himself the character and the characteristics of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a difference between that person and a person who does not have a role model to follow. We're not saying all non-Muslims are bad or anything like that. No, of course not. We're not saying that. But this is the difference. This is the point that a Muslim, look what does the Sheikh say here in this book? The personality of a Muslim should be distinctive, should be different, should stand out. بِجَمَالِهَا with its beauty, وَكَمَالِهَا and its perfection, وَسِمَاتِهَا and its uniqueness due to its code of conduct. This personality of the Muslim should stand out. And this is what the Sheikh was saying, that look, this is a difference. A difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is not like, you know, not only, remember, don't take things out of context and understand carefully what I'm saying, but it's not only by the way you look. It's not only by the way you dress. You don't only stand out as a Muslim by the way you dress yourself. Seriously. There are many people who wear a similar type of dress like the Muslims dress. Okay? But the way a believer stands out in this story is like by his character, by his characteristics, by his akhlaq, by his manners, by his code of conduct. So anyway, the Sheikh is saying here that look, a Muslim is supposed to be somebody who's distinctive, beautiful, you know, and this is the internal beauty. And now from the internal beauty, the Sheikh is moving on to the external beauty as well. And that's actually the one of the first etiquettes mentioned in this book. That Islam is a religion that teaches cleanliness, that teaches purification, that teaches purity, that teaches tahara. So the in appearance is also important. All this time we've been talking about the internal beauty, the beauty of the character, but the external appearance to a degree in terms of cleanliness, in terms of cleanliness and in terms of purity is important as well in Islam, and it's part of etiquette. Okay? And the next, you know, section, what he's talking about, inshallah, I'm going to discuss this in quite detail, is the importance for a Muslim man and a Muslim woman to remain clean, to remain pure, and to remain in a presentable state. And that is actually part of these Islamic adab and etiquettes. And again, you know this, it goes back to the benefit to other people. It's not because it's going to harm yourself. It's that as well, maybe. But more importantly, the aspect here is that when a person is dirty, filthy, unclean, bad odor coming out from their body, it harms other people around you. So the whole idea again here is not to harm people. You understand? This is the whole issue here. So the Shaykh moves on to say, let me just read this and then inshallah I will explain. A Muslim's personality should be distinctive by its beauty, internal beauty, its perfection, its uniqueness, and the believer, the Muslim, should also be externally clean and in a presentable state. As he says, كَمَا أَرْشَدَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلُ سَيِّدِنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. As it was directed by our beloved Master, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you know, he has a small footnote here about Sayyiduna. He mentioned Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Master, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's got a small footnote here, explaining that there's nothing wrong, rather it's recommended to add the word Sayyiduna before Rasulullah. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there's nothing wrong in doing that. Even in prayer in Farad, when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim, until the end when we read the salawat in our salah, in tashahud, there's two opinions. Some ulama say that look, you shouldn't add the word Sayyiduna before Muhammad. Others say it's fine, it's not a problem. And I personally, inshallah, from what I've learned from some of my teachers, is that I feel that it's okay, inshallah, it shouldn't be a problem. It's, you know, part of your adab and your respect, even in prayer and salah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, our master. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is without doubt our master. And he said himself in a hadith, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخْرُ. I am the master of the children of Adam. And I have no arrogance and pride in saying this, because I have to say this to you, because Allah has ordered me to say to you. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah says that any ni'mah that Allah has given you, O Messenger, then حَدِّثْ, say to the people. Mention it to the people. So that's why the Messenger of Allah, he said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمْ. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So anyway, that's a footnote at the bottom. But the main topic which he's discussing here is that a Muslim should be presentable externally, the importance of appearance. So he mentions that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in one instance he said, وَكَانَ مَعَهُ بَعْضُ الصَّحَابَةِ الْكِرَامِ. Once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his noble companions, some of his noble companions were with him. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with them, and they were just about to travel. So this is the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ, he said to them, And this is a very important hadith. He said to them, إِنَّكُمْ قَادِمُونَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ قَادِمُونَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَانِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ فِي النَّاسِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفُحْشَ وَلَا التَّفَحُّشَ رواه أبو داود والإمام أحمد والحاكم في المستدرك عن سهل بن الحنظلية رضي الله تعالى عنه. He mentions this hadith that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was with some of his companions and he addressed them and he said to them, إِنَّكُمْ قَادِمُونَ, that verily you are coming, if you are soon arriving and coming to your brothers. They were just about to travel, as you know. So he said, soon you are coming and arriving and to your brothers. فَأَحْسِنُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ, therefore put on your nice clothes. وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ, fix your saddles. حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ فِي النَّاسِ, so that you become such that you stand out as a beauty mark في الناس in amongst people. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفُحْشَ وَلَا تَفَحُّشَ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like roughness, وَلَا تَفَحُّشَ, and he does not like rough manners. This is a hadith recorded by Imam Abu Dawood, Imam Ahmad, Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak from the companion سهل بن الحنظلية رضي الله عنه. So the Shaykh mentioned this hadith here, which shows the importance of, you know, putting on one's nice clothes and fixing their saddles. Inshallah, I will explain this hadith. We'll take a short break and then I'll explain this hadith, and there are quite a few important points that I want to discuss in light of this hadith in the next section. So we'll have a quick short break and then after that I'll come back, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Welcome back to listeners to this daily program and dars on a book called Min Adab al-Islam. So before the break, if you remember, I read the hadith which the Shaykh, the author of this book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, has just mentioned. I'm going to try to explain this hadith. And inshallah, there's some very important points that we need to discuss. This is the etiquette, this is a adab which the Shaykh is discussing here, the importance of appearance, the importance of making sure that a person remains clean and pure at all times, the importance of remaining in a presentable state. The Shaykh mentioned this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And what did he say to them? They were about to go and visit some places. They were about to visit some people. So he said, look, إِنَّكُمْ قَادِمُونَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَانِكُمْ, you are soon visiting your brothers. Soon you will come and see your brothers. Your brothers, you will soon visit them. You will arrive at their place. So therefore, before you leave, أَحْسِنُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ, put on your nice clothes. وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ, إِصْلَاح, fix your saddles. You know the horse that you're sitting on, the saddle on the horse. You know your means of transport. Fix them, clean them as well, to the point that you should be such that you stand out as a beauty mark. حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ. شَامَةٌ means a beauty mark. نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ فِي الْوَجْهِ, you know, you have that black mark. You know the way a black mark stands out in a white face? This is the resemblance the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving, and is taking analogy from the black mark on a white face. So he says the way a black mark stands out, a Muslim, a believer, should stand out in amongst the people, even externally. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like roughness and dirtiness, and Allah does not like rough manners. So this adab and etiquette is telling us that not just the way we act, and not just the way we deal, and not just the way our character is important, but even the way we dress as a Muslim is important. We as Muslims should dress in a presentable way. As you know, Islam places a lot of importance on tahara. Tahara is the most important area of Islam. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. Verily Allah loves, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who are pure, and those who are aspiring to become purified. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who repent. Sorry, this is the right translation. I just got distracted. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who repent. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. And Allah loves the ones who are pure. Okay? So, we know how much emphasis Islam places on purity. الطهور شطر الإيمان. Purity is half of faith. الطهور شطر الإيمان. Purity is half of faith. Our salah, our prayer, nothing is valid without tahara and without purity. Okay? So we know how important purity is. But Islam says, Islam does not only place emphasis, brothers and sisters, just on purity. Rather, Islam places a lot of emphasis on nadafa as well. There's a difference between tahara and nadafa. Tahara is purification, making sure that a person is ritually pure. But at the same time, we have to be nadif as well. Islam emphasizes nadafa as well, which is cleanliness. Not just purity, but cleanliness. It's very important to remain clean. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he said that keep the courtyards nadifu afniyatakum. You know, make sure the courtyards of your homes are also, you know, clean. So even in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying that look, when you go and visit your brothers and sisters, put on your nice clothes, fix your saddles. You should be like a beauty mark in amongst the people. In other words, a Muslim should appear distinctive, even by the way he dresses. A Muslim should have neat clothes. He should be in an orderly manner. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. Some of us, we neglect this and we don't give importance to this. But we don't think Islam places a lot of importance on cleanliness. Islam does. You see, it's very important. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just pure, but he was absolutely clean and in a very impeccable manner. He would make sure that his body is clean, washed, his clothes are clean, his mouth is clean. There's a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, in Sahih of Imam Muslim. She was asked about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بأي شيء كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبدأ. You know, when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he used to wake up, what did he start with? What did he do first when he would wake up? She said, بالسواك. He would use the siwak, the toothstick. He would clean his mouth, clean his teeth. Extremely important as a Muslim that we keep our mouths clean. This is part of Islamic teachings. You know, having bad odor coming out from the mouth is wrong. And if we are neglectful, then it may even be sinful. Seriously, brothers, we don't think this is part of Islam, but this is part of the teachings of Islam. And this is the reason why, and I mentioned this hadith yesterday as well, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? The one who eats onion, who has eaten, consumed onion and garlic, he should not come close to our masjid. Let him pray at home. Why? Because it will harm people. Imagine eating food and coming into the masjid. And this becomes even more important now, brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan. You know, the time of iftar, sometimes we don't give importance to this. And this is why I personally feel we should just have some dates and water and then pray our salah and then go home and eat and relax. If you can't do that, then eat properly and then wash. If a person feels hungry, wants to eat more, then brush your teeth, use the siwak, gargle your mouth, clean your mouth before coming into the masjid and praying, because it's wrong and it's sinful. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? مَنْ أَكَلَ الثُّومَ وَالْبَصَلَ فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مُصَلَّانَا فَلْيَعْتَذِلَّا وَلْيَقْعُدْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. Let him not come even close to our masjid. Let him sit at home and pray at home. And in Ramadan, what happens? We don't give importance to this. Many of us, like, coming from the house, we've just eaten, you know, one pastry, one samosa, one pastry, one kebab, one this, one that, you know, just quick, a half a samosa in the mouth and another half in the pocket and running to the masjid. One rak'ah of maghrib is gone, and it's like, you know, a bit samosa stuck in our teeth, and then we go into the masjid, Allahu Akbar, next to a person. Now, this is going to harm someone. It's going to not just harm human beings, but a harm and be offensive to the malaika, to the angels. In another hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, you know, in the same hadith, and he said, فَإِنَّ بَنِي آدَمْ يَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That human beings, the children of Adam, they are harmed as well as the angels are harmed by this offensive smell of onion and garlic and similar things. The worst is, you know what, brothers? The worst is when a person has a cigarette and comes into the masjid. A'udhu billah. I don't know how that person can do that. Seriously, and I've mentioned this many times. In Ramadan, you know, outside, because that person's wanting to smoke. Now, he smokes, has a one, two samosas here and there, kebab here and there, quickly lights up his cigarette, a few puffs, drags here and there, you know, into the masjid straight away, Allahu Akbar. Next to a person, now you, the person next to you, you're harming that person. I've experienced this on one or two occasions. I had to literally once just break my salah because the one who came next to me, he just had a very, you know, I don't know what kind of cigarette he had, but a very powerful kind of cigarette. He must have had a pipe or something, I don't know what he had. I could not take the smell. In Maghrib salah, I had to actually literally break my salah and go somewhere else and start again. So we don't think about these issues. These are issues at the central, these are issues at the centrality of Islam. These are issues that Islam teaches and talks about. Islam is not just about fasting and doing your iftar and comfort taraweeh and that's it, you're a good Muslim. Islam is much more than that. Islam is much more than your salah and your taraweeh and your fasting. It's about making sure that you don't harm people. So anyway, this issue of being clean and remaining clean again goes back to ensuring that we do not harm people with the way we are. The way we dress should not harm people. The way we remain and stay should not harm people. Okay? And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. He said, look, you are going to visit your brothers. Wear nice clothes. Put on your nice clothes. فَأَحْسِنُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ. And you know, brothers, this is the reason why, you know, the sunnahs of Eid and Jumu'ah. Every Friday, today was Alhamdulillah Friday, okay? The sunnah of Friday, what are the sunnah acts of Friday? There are many, but we know, taking a bath, taking a ghusl, wearing nice and good clothes on, applying perfume. Okay, these are all the sunnahs of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday. And especially before going and attending the Friday prayer. Likewise, the same kind of sunnahs are prescribed for Eid. Before going for Eid prayer, for Eid Salah, Salatul Eid, there are sunan. There are practices that are considered to be sunnah. if you look carefully and if you think carefully and reflect, you know why these acts have been considered to be acts of sunnah? It's because in Jumu'ah prayer and Eid prayer, a person will be meeting many people. There is a gathering of many individuals. In Jumu'ah Salah, a lot of people come. Eid prayer, many different people come. Because it's a mass gathering, and because many people are attending, this is the reason why Islam has made it a sunnah to dress well, to apply perfume. So that if you apply perfume, you know why perfume is considered to be sadaqah, charity, in a hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love perfume. There's a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, أَرْبَعٌ مِّن سُنَنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Four things are from the sunnah of all the prophets. الْحَيَاءُ وَالْتَعَدُّرُ وَالسِّوَاكُ وَالنِّكَاحُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four things are from the sunnahs and from the ways of all the prophets. From Sayyidun Adam alayhi salam to Sayyidunna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them, you know, love these four practices. Number one is haya, modesty. All the prophets were modest. Number two, ta'attur. From the word itr. Ta'attur. All the prophets loved perfume. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, and whoever is offered perfume, fala yarudduhu. He should not reject it. So he used to love applying perfume. And the other two is siwak, again, brushing the mouth, cleaning the mouth with siwak, with a toothstick. Cleaning the mouth and the teeth. And number four, a nikah, marriage. All the prophets married, except for two, with the exception of two. So, ta'attur, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love perfume, used to apply perfume. You know, one of the reasons and the wisdoms behind applying perfume is that, and why it's called charity. What is charity? You know, we have charitable organizations. When you give in charity, you are benefiting people. Likewise, perfume is considered to be an act of charity because its benefit is felt more by those around you than you yourself. If I applied nice itr perfume today, no doubt I will benefit slightly. I can smell it, but you know, after a while, I won't be able to smell my perfume. But if I go and meet people, if I attend a gathering, if I go into a room, if I enter a room, if I go somewhere, people around me, my family members, my relatives, everybody around me, they're able to smell my perfume more than me. And they will feel good. It should be a pleasant feeling for them. And because they feel good, I have become a means, and I am a cause of them feeling good. Hence, perfume is considered to be charity. So this is what it is. You know, applying a nice perfume. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, what did he say? You know, there's a couple of hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a hand of a woman. A woman, you know, presented a piece of paper from behind a veil to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, أَيَدُ رَجُلٍ أَمْ يَدُ إِمْرَأَةٍ. She gave a note, a piece of paper that she wanted, maybe a question or something, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, it was behind a curtain, behind a veil. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is this a man's hand or a woman's hand? He knew it was a woman's hand because they're all women and sisters behind the veil. But he just, in order to give her a lesson, he said, is this a man's hand or a woman's hand? She said, it's a woman's hand. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كُنْتِ إِمْرَأَةً لَغَيَّرْتِ أَظْفَارِ أَرْكِ بِالْحِنَى. If you were a woman, you would have changed your nails by applying henna. SubhanAllah. You know, henna, mainly. The Messenger, this is the hadith in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged women to apply henna on their nails. Seriously, this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if you were a woman, you would have changed your nails. A woman applies henna on her nails because this is the way, it's a form of beauty, it's a form of remaining clean. See, Islam teaches all of this. There's another hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawud. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man and who had dirty clothes on. وَعَلَيْهِ رَأَى رَجُلًا آخَرَ وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابٌ وَسِخَةٌ. He had dirty clothes. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمَا كَانَ هَذَا يَجِدُ مَا يَغْسِلُ بِهِ ثَوْبَهُ. Does this person not have anything to wash his clothes with? SubhanAllah, he said it in a sarcastic manner. Sometimes it's permissible and it's actually necessary to say something in a sarcastic manner, especially, you know, if you are giving advice or maybe it's one of your students or somebody to teach a lesson. So Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a person in extremely dirty clothes. He said, doesn't this person doesn't he have anything, any water or anything to wash his clothes with? And likewise, in the same hadith collection of Imam Abu Dawud, in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, there was another person whose hair was all over the place, unkept, disheveled. He never combed his hair. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? أَمَا كَانَ هَذَا يَجِدُ مَا يُسَكِّنُ بِهِ شَعَرَهُ. SubhanAllah. Doesn't this person have anything to arrange and comb his hair with? Look at his hair. It's all over the place. So Islam teaches that even if you have hair, look after your hair. And this is why the famous hadith, مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ. مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever has hair, he should honor his hair. يُكْرِمْهُ إِكْرَام. Look after his hair. If you have hair of the head, look after the hair of your head. Comb it. Apply oil in it. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُكْثِرُ دَهْنَ رَأْسِهِ وَتَسْرِيحَ لِحْيَتِهِ. This is another hadith. I'm taking this from the books of hadith. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُكْثِرُ دَهْنَ رَأْسِهِ وَتَسْرِيحَ لِحْيَتِهِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would excessively apply oil in his head. This is a hadith recorded by Imam At-Tirmidhi in his Shama'il. The Messenger would excessively apply oil in his head, and he would excessively apply oil in his beard and comb his beard. يُكْثِرُ دَهْنَ رَأْسِهِ وَتَسْرِيحَ لِحْيَتِهِ. Now, subhanAllah, this is a teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we don't think about this. Sometimes we think, okay, we have hair, but we just leave the hair as it is. No, Islam tells us that if you've kept hair of the head, then oil it, apply oil on it, comb it, arrange it, make it look nice. If you've got a beard, Islam says, yes, keep a beard. But that doesn't mean Islam says that just keep your beard in any way, shape or form, that you never look after it and never do anything to it and that's it. No, Islam says, look, if you've got a beard, mashallah, apply nice oil to it, comb it regularly, keep it nice and clean and neat. This is what Islam teaches. The way you dress, the way you look, the way you appear, it will reflect your personality. Seriously, your appearance will reflect. Your appearance will reflect your personality. People will respect you more. This is what the Sheikh is saying and advising here as a form of an etiquette, adab. That it's important, and this Sheikh himself, I mean, I know from his biography and some of his students mentioned that he himself was very particular about his appearance. He had special perfume formulated and made, specially for him. You know, he never used to apply any kind of perfume. He had a special kind of itar perfume that was made for him, specially by a perfume maker in Halab, in Aleppo, in Syria. Even when he moved away to Saudi Arabia, when he was living in Riyadh, this special perfume used to come to him. The person would send it to him specially, and he specially, you know, kind of made it for himself. He said, look, I need a bit of this, a special mixture, And that's the only perfume he would apply. He would always remain in an impeccable state. His clothes were always ironed. His beard was always nicely kept and combed and oiled. He had very nice dress sense, very nice thob and jubba, very nice scarf on his head. He was very, very smart, the Sheikh. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. And always, I mean, it's easy to do this when there's a wedding, maybe on Jumu'ah, maybe, you know, once a week. The difficulty is when you want to do it every single day. And listen to what he's saying. And look, don't just be clean and be presentable when you have to attend the meeting or when you have to go for an interview. Okay? The Sheikh is actually saying that some people take this so lightly. He says, don't take it lightly. Even when you are with family, friends and relatives, even in your day-to-day life, the way you look and the way you dress will actually have an impact on the people around you. And this is why many of our teachers and ulama say, especially the people of da'wah, especially the people of position, of rank, the people of status, people of leadership in the community, they should take extra care of this. If you are going to be a leader of the community, if you are going to be an alim, a scholar, or a sheikh, or somebody who is going to address the community, somebody who is considered, or somebody who people look up to, then it's more important that you remain. I'm not saying that you should adorn yourself 24/7 next to the mirror like a woman. A man doesn't become a woman, okay? I'm not saying that all the time, you know, you start putting makeup on and this and that. But what's important, what I'm saying is that a person should be clean and pure in a nice, presentable state. People of da'wah should specially give importance to this. So this is what the Shaykh is saying here in light of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? He said, look, O Sahaba, O my companions, you are innakum qadimuna ala ikhwanikum. You are soon visiting your brothers. Especially when you go and visit people, you take more care of this. Put on your nice clothes. Wa aslihu rihalakum. You know what waslihu rihalakum means? Fix your saddles. Fix your saddles, meaning arrange and fix the means of transport. And this hadith indicates to us that even the means of transport, we should make sure they are kept clean. I know I am guilty of this, and many of you maybe, but we don't look after our cars. Very dirty. That's wrong again, Islamically. If you have a car, make sure that it's washed, okay, and kept clean. I'm not saying you start adorning your car. No, I mean, that's wrong, starting adorning your car, etc. But keep it clean. You know, if our car is dirty and then somebody wants to sit in our car, we are harming them. They will feel uneasy. We will first of all feel uneasy of making people, allowing people to sit in our car. So this hadith, وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ, fix your saddles, indicates that we should even try our best to keep our means of transportation clean and neat. Okay? And by extension, it also implies that we should keep our houses clean, maintain our houses, keep them clean. Okay? We should keep our, like the hadith, there's an explicit hadith that talks about the garden and the courtyard. نَظِّفُوا أَفْنِيَةَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Courtyards of your home, keep them clean. So your garden's clean, back garden clean, front of your home's clean, your bedroom clean, tidy, neat, your cupboards, where you keep your clothes, that should be neat and clean. Your drawers should be neat and clean. Your bathroom and your washroom and your toilet, that should be kept clean and neat. These are all the adab and etiquettes and the teachings of Islam and Sharia and the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should even dress well. Kitabul libas, libas, we should dress. As a Muslim should always try to dress well. He should look nice. He should look clean and neat and tidy. He should be in a state that is presentable. Okay? There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. A person who has even a small amount of pride and arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah. Will not enter Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The one who has even a small atom worth of pride and arrogance in his heart will not enter, shall not enter paradise. So a man said, قال رجل, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, there was a Sahabi, a companion, a question came in his mind, and that's the question that might have come in your mind, and that's the answer of which I want to mention to you right now. So a man stood up and said, Ya, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنٌ وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. A human being, a man, an individual, a man and a woman, an individual, likes to remain clean, likes the fact that his clothes are nice and clean and tidy and neat. He likes to wear good clothes. أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنٌ وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. And an individual likes to have good shoes. So, does that mean that he will not enter paradise because he's got arrogance and pride in his heart? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. No, no, no. You've misunderstood what I'm saying. And this is the confusion and the misunderstanding that I want to dispel. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say to the Sahabi? He said, look, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Looking, wanting to look nice, wanting to wear good clothes, wanting to apply perfume, wanting to wear nice shoes, and keep remaining neat and tidy and clean and dressing well. Does not mean that you have arrogance in your heart. So he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Very, Allah Himself is beautiful and likes beauty. جَمِيلٌ, Allah loves beauty. Allah Himself is beautiful. And Allah loves beauty Himself. So don't worry, if you want, you know, if you like the fact that you have good clothes and good shoes and you want to dress well and neat and tidy, don't worry, Allah loves Jamal. Allah Himself is Jamil. يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then he said, I'll tell you what pride is. You know what pride is? And then he explained, he said, Al-Kibru, pride, that which I was talking about, that the one who has even a small amount, atom worth of pride and arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah. Pride is Al-Kibru, Batarul Haqqi, Wa Ghamtun Nas. Pride is to deny the rights of people. That's what pride is. Arrogance is that you're so arrogant. You know, your husband wants his rights. Your wife wants her right. Parents, children, you know, rights of relatives, Muslims. You don't give people's rights. That's pride. You don't fulfill the rights of people. That's arrogance. And then he said, وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, and looking down on people. Yes, if a person dresses well, if a person has nice clothes on and then looks down on people, look at me, I'm so it, you know, I look at me, I dress well, I'm so nice and clean, look at that guy. I wear, you know, a jacket that's worth £200, and look at him, he can't even, you know, afford a £20 jacket, he's got really, really cheap clothes on. That's pride, and that's haram, and that's sinful, and that's wrong. And that's why the condition of dressing well is that provided a person does not... There's two conditions, in other words. Listen to this carefully. The summary is that a person, it's great, he should wear nice clothes, good clothes, clean clothes, remain clean, stay neat, remain tidy. But there are two conditions. Condition number one is that he should not or she should not look down on other people, because that's pride and that's haram and that leads you to the fire of hell. May Allah save us all. So the first condition is, provided that the person does not have contempt in his heart for other people, does not look down on other people. And you know what the second condition is? The second condition is also taken from the Qur'an. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. This israf and takbir, being extravagant, going over the top, spending over the top, that's haram as well in Islam. So the second condition is that one should not be extravagant. One should not go overboard. One should not cross the boundary and the limits when spending money to remain to buy nice good clothes. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, in this hadith, the one I was talking, which is in the book, put on your nice clothes, fix your saddle so that you become distinct as a beauty mark in amongst people. And then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَحْشَ وَلَا التَّفَحُشَ. Allah does not like roughness. Allah does not like rough manners. Allah does not like a person who's rough in the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he dresses, you know, somebody who's clumsy. Allah likes, you know, the hadith which is coming, رِفْقُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ Allah likes إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّ. Allah is gentle and He likes gentleness, calmness in everything. You know, Allah likes a person who is calm, who is gentle, collective, not somebody who's clumsy and dirty and the way they talk, they're clumsy, and somebody who's rough and rough-mannered and ill-mannered. This is the hadith which is mentioned in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Imam Ahmed and Imam Hakim by the Sahabi Sahal ibn Hanbaliya radiallahu anhu. And the final line which the Shaykh says here, he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَن يُعَرَفَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ مِنْ حُسْنِ ذِيِّهِ وَتَنَاسُقِ هَيْئَتِهِ وَرُوَاءِ مَظْهَرِهِ وَاللَّهُ الْهَادِي إِلَى سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. So therefore, it is appropriate that a Muslim should be known that he is a Muslim. A believer is recognized that he is a believer. It's appropriate that a Muslim is identified that he is a Muslim. By what? مِنْ حُسْنِ ذِيِّهِ. By the goodness of his appearance, his neat dress. A Muslim should be identified by his neat dress, by his good appearance, by his good appearance and the way he has dressed himself or herself. وَتَنَاسُقِ هَيْئَتِهِ. And the way, and you know, the arrangement of his body, the way, you know, the orderly fashion he presents himself in. وَرُوَاءِ مَظْهَرِهِ. And a Muslim should be known by his, you know, the pleasantness of his appearance, the way he seems pleasant to the people. And he says, Wallahu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he guide us to the straight path. So again, he's emphasizing, the Shaykh is emphasizing the point here, that a Muslim, a believer, should always try to remain clean and neat and tidy. You know, this was the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba. The special, you know, there's a hadith which Imam al-Bukhari relates in his Al-Adab al-Mufrad from the Tabi'i Abu al-Aliya. He said, "Inna al-Muslimuna إذا تزاوروا تجملوا." The Sahaba and the Tabi'in radiallahu anhum, when they used to visit one another, they used to تجملوا. They used to actually adorn themselves when they used to go and visit people. So this was a practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was a practice of the Tabi'i radiallahu anhum. They used to make sure, they used to apply a perfume, they used to remain clean, they used to apply perfume, which I mentioned is sadaqah and charity. And they used to, you know, make sure that they remain clean and pure at all times. And then finally, remember we have this hadith, a famous hadith, عَشْرٌ مِنَ الْفِطْرَةِ, 10 things are from fitrah, 10 things are from the natural teachings of Islam, the 10 things which have been mentioned in many hadith, in the hadith which has been mentioned in the many hadith books, things like, you know, making sure that a person, cuts his nails, removes underarm hair, removes pubic hair, etc., which I don't have time to go into, but that's something that we should also take care of, inshallah. So we come to the end of today's session, but the summary of today's session was the etiquette of making sure that a person has a good appearance about him, a person remains clean, neat and tidy, the importance of tahara, purity, and the importance of nazafa, cleanliness in Islam, and that's the first etiquette, and we come to the end of today's session with that etiquette. Tomorrow, inshallah, we go into the next etiquette, which is to do with opening the door and closing the door. How to open a door and how to shut a door, and then we move on to the etiquettes and the rules of salam. How a person should salam and greet, make salam and greet people, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. Today's Friday, take out special extra time to make dua, because dua is accepted just before you open your fast, especially in the month of Ramadan, and especially on Friday just before Maghrib. So till tomorrow, 6:30, I'll be back, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته